Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. I welcome everybody to the service. Hallelujah. Somebody once asked, why you keep saying this? You bring one of these? It's called the Bible. This is, if you bought a car brand new, you would find a book in the glove apartment. And it would be a book of instruction on how to follow and operate your vehicle that you're driving. I'd just like to mention again about the resurrection, the 31st. Amen. I trust to see you in the house of God, and that you may understand and feel the very presence of the Lord. This morning, as we're drawing down to the end of this world, and we are traveling down to the end of this world would destroy itself. Mankind would destroy themselves. Period. They would do that. This morning, I'd like you to turn with me to the 16th chapter of the book of John. The 16th chapter of the book of John. Amen. I want to look for a few moments at verse 1. But before we go any further, we would have a word of prayer. Father, we ask Thee today to open this word to us that we can understand it in Your very presence. Amen. Christianity today, when I talk about Christianity, it's not the Christianity that is a little boy I grew up under. Some people say it is different than was back then. We know more about it. No, we don't know any more about it than what we should know. Verse 1 says, "These things have I spoken unto you." Now, when he said, "I have spoken these things unto you," he's talking about his disciples. And they're standing there. Right now, they're listening to what Jesus has to say. And so, that ye should not be offended. Somebody stopped and said, why would you be offended? Have you been offended? Have you found it hard to serve Jesus? But he's talking to his disciples for a particular. See, Jesus is not going to be with them much longer. I said he's not going to be with them much longer. And you need to realize that the disciples did not understand what Jesus actually was talking about at that particular time. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yeah. The time cometh that whosoever kills you will think that he does God's service. Now, we live in a time, we live in a place that in society has turned against the church. Individually, they have turned against the church. Government leaders also has really basically turned against the church. When I say that, they're turning away to other things. The one time that we would be considered a quote Christian nation, today we have so many different type of foreign religions, is not funny. And it is decaying our country and we are slowly starting to decay down. And when you stop to think and say, well, preacher, what do you mean? We have more than most people today. Yes, we have cars, we have houses, we have whatever we can want, and we want more, and we want more, and we want more. I remember many years ago, there was a group called Isaac. Isaac was a group of terrorists, and if you was a Christian, very simple, they would just catch you, kill you, cut your head off, and do these things to you. Religion persecutes the Church of Jesus Christ. I said religion will persecute the Church of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, we find that hard to believe. Well, you live in America. If you lived in some places in Africa, if you were a Christian, the Muslim cut your arms off. They persecute you. And if that was to happen, that would get me upset. And it should get you upset also. And you should know what you believe. And Jesus is talking about it. Somebody said, I want to hear something joyful this morning. I want to hear something great. I want to tell you there is something great. If you're born again, saved and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to go to heaven. But not only are you going to go to heaven, but God will provide for you here on this earth, and He will change your life that you'll have a more fuller life. But along with it, you do have persecution. How many remember the epidemic they had a couple of years ago? Well, if you was a Christian and you were to go to your job and do something, and this is a fact, and this is in this country, they was persecuting a lot of Christians and a lot of churches that stood up. I said, stood up for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of people got offended. I'm talking about church people got offended that the government and everybody's not listening to what the state say. You understand what I'm saying? They got offended. They got offended with what Jesus taught. Now, Jesus got a group of disciples here. They're listening. And they understand following Jesus, there is a little hostility toward this man called Jesus. And when Jesus is talking in verse 3, He said, these things will they do unto you because they have not, come, they have not known the Father. The Jewish religion at that time didn't know the Father. They went through the rigmarole of offering sacrifices and stuff, but they didn't know the Father. Otherwise, they didn't know the God that they claimed to know and are saying they want to follow Him. Nor me. So when I sit here and I look at the world today, they don't know the Father. They don't know the God. Young person, if you're in college, they'll teach you there is no God, there is no this or that. And if you're a Christian, professors will stand up and do everything they can to humiliate you in front of the other people, that you will be offended because of what has been said. Jesus is talking to Father or me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I say not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. At the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if, well, let's take a cult today. When I talk about a cult, I'm talking about people that are against everything. the first thing to be a cult, they will not tell you the bad things that you should know. They will come to you and say, if you come and follow us, we can promise you a better living. We can promise you a better job, promise you homes and cars and everything. In the Depression, the big deal was a man ran for the office of presidency and he said, everybody shall have 2 chickens in a pot and a car in the garage. That sound good. Adolf Hitler arose. Now somebody said, who in the world is Adolf Hitler? Adolf Hitler marched across Europe. He killed Jewish people in the concentration camps. He killed also what I always wonder. I wonder how come they never made this statement. But he also killed Christians. Because Christians did not conform to his way of living or his society because it was wrong. My brother-in-laws, and they're all way older than I am, had to fight in that horrible war. They saw the concentration camps. Eisenhower made the troops there in Germany march through those camps and look at them and said, be a decade or so, a generation will rise and they'll say, this never happened. That's a fact. I've heard a preacher also talk once, and from the street, and he said, it never happened. It was just something. It happened. 6 million Jews died, and roughly some gypsies and 3 million Christians total died also in those concentration camps. Yes, it was just a foreshadow of what's going to happen in the great tribulation. Or somebody said, oh, you're preaching from that old King James. Yeah. Well, very simple. You can't figure it out. I figured it out. I figured it out real fast. You're going to leave, and where I am, you can't come. Peter, remember that was said to Peter, and Peter said, well, why can't I? I should be able to follow you. Well, Jesus is dealing here with the church today. There's a group of people will say, that was for them back then. No, the Bible is... When you look at the Bible, what do you see? Do you consider it a book of stories? Do you think it's fiction? I said, do you think it's fiction? Or you jump, look at me, I want to show you something. Just holding it in my hand. This is a New Testament. And this is put out by, I don't mind saying it, it's put out by this Jimmy Swagger ministry. And it has one thing that I like about it, I like the size. I don't care who you listen to. Everybody will have a few little pits in what they believe. Everybody. Even me. If you listen to me, you say, well, I definitely don't believe you. But somebody says, well, this is... No, look at me. This is John? No. This is Peter? No. This is Paul? No. Sometimes I listen to a preacher, they get Paul higher than Peter. And others get them so high. Listen, you can't get these men higher than God's Jesus Christ. This is the world. As you are holding the Word of God. God is talking to you. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to have a good life. God wants you to go to heaven. But the choice is yours. That's your choice. So he's talking here about it, and he said, none of you ask me. Listen. None of you ask me, where goest thou? Where are you going? No matter where you go, we're going to follow you, Jesus. But they didn't ask that. They didn't ask. They just said, listened to him and thought, well, what are you talking about? I have told these things unto you, it filled your heart. I just cannot picture living with. I'm asking you a question, you out there, if you're listening or watching by television or listening by internet or radio. Have you? Are you claiming to be a follower of Jesus and yet you do not follow Jesus? I said you do not follow Jesus at all. But because I have said these things unto you, fill your heart. We look today does not understand that fully. We should understand it 100%. We live on this side. And what we do is very simple. We wonder if we believe things about it. And somebody said, well, that was good for that day and time, but I don't think it really applied today. Hey, listen, it does apply today. Better yet, it applies to you. Everybody, over 8 billion people live on this world. I said they live in this whole world here, 8 billion and something by now, more. But you're going to someday stand before God Almighty and you're going to have to give an answer for what way you have lived. You're going to have to give an answer. And Jesus is talking to them. Their heart, sorrow has filled their heart. Now, the good news, I said the good news, the good news, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Woo! It is expedient. It is very necessary. Now, somebody stand there and look and say, well, how can you mean that's necessary, preacher? Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Son of God. He's not an archangel. He's not some other thing. He is the Son of God and being part. And when I was studying this here particular scripture, and these scriptures in this here text, something crossed my mind, and it was this. Do you realize about 11 times the Father has been mentioned? And now you have also the Comforter has been mentioned. You also have Jesus is talking. He has been. So you have 1, 2, 3. You have the full Godhead represented right here in this text and this scripture. And then he said, he's going away. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Somebody said, well, Jesus only can be in one place at one time in a body. Hello? I said, he only can be one place in a body. And he wants to be with you, but he also wants to be inside of you. The Father also wants to be inside of you. And that is the goal. So Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go away. And somebody looked and said, well, I go away. For if I go not away, and he's telling them, if I do not leave, the greatest thing that you probably could have, and when I was reading these texts and I was thinking about them, I was thinking here, it said, and if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. Now, the word comforter, that is somebody drawn along the side to help you as a Christian that you can make it through this life. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I said, I thank God for the Holy Ghost. He will take and literally, if you pray and you study and meditate and even pray and fasting, He will start to slowly, slowly open the book to you. Amen. I said, He will slowly, slowly start to open the book to you. But you're going to have to study. You're going to have to look at it. There's some things you're going to have to give up. People say, well, I don't want to give up. Listen. How important is eternal life to you? How is it important to you to live in heaven? Or do you really want to live in hell that much? The Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, there it is, the word depart, I will send Him unto you. So we have in text, He's not just a spirit. It's a He. Jesus used the pronoun He. When He talks about God, He calls God His Father. His Father is not some mysterious thing that nobody don't understand. He is that. So when I'm looking at this text and I can see what He's talking about, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. For sin, because they believe not on Me. The night I sat in a little country church at a revival. I sat at a revival that night. The Spirit of God came, the Holy Ghost. I was sitting on the back row with my wife and my two children. And I sat there, and I heard the gospel preached. And that night, I said that night, hello, I had opened up my spirit inside of me all of a sudden. All the years that I lived, for 22 years, I never thought about God really. But sitting there, looking at it, I did not believe in Him. Not really. People talk today, but they don't believe in Him. People don't know how to accept it, but they don't know how to believe Him. You need to know that He's alive. I said you need to know He's alive. You need to know that He wants to touch you as an individual. He touched me that night as an individual. For the first time, I realized I was a sinner. I thought I lived just as good as anybody else. I would look at it and I could see people that went to church. I could see people that cussed. I could hear them telling about the dirty jokes. I could hear them talking about it. I'd look at them. I'd say, well, you claim to be a Christian. Why are you looking? Well, my wife said it was okay as long as I look and don't touch. My friend, Jesus said, if you think it, you've done it. Hello. If you think it, you have done it. And you need to realize, I said, you need to realize that you're a sinner. And that night, I realized I was a sinner. How was I convicted? Jesus wasn't standing there. I said, but the Spirit did, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost was standing there. The Holy Ghost was talking to me. The Holy Ghost was telling me, you a sinner and you me. And the only reason the preacher said and the preacher pointed, and I would have swore that night. I said, I would have swore that night that he was pointing at me. 160 some people in that church. And I just knew he was pointing at me. Have you ever had conviction like that? Have you ever had God come down and talk to you like that? Talk to you and say, you need to get yourself right. That's a serious thing. You need to get yourself right with God. A righteousness, because I go to my Father. Now, I can't be the Son and the Father. That's a simple fact. I am a father and I do have a son. But my father, I am not my father. I'm talking about my earthly father. I was my earthly father's son. Now I stand and I'm a father and I have a son. And I'm very proud of my son. Amen. I said, because he knows Jesus Christ to be his personal Savior. You need to know. Ye see me no more. When I hear people say that Jesus comes into the room and talks with them on a regular daily basis, I sort of scratch my head, because when you look at the Scripture, it says, and ye see me no more. Because remember, why is Jesus sending the Holy Ghost? He's sending the Holy Ghost here to teach you, because now, through the Holy Ghost, Jesus can be every place in the whole world. A lot of time when people think they're talking to Jesus, I'm going to tell you who they're talking to. They're talking to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is operating. The Holy Ghost is flowing. And Jesus said, when you saw me, you saw the Father. And when we live as Christians, you should have that regret. So he's just like his Father. The Lord Jesus Christ has chosen him, and we need to know him. Not only did he come to do that, of judgment, that's the Holy Ghost, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Who is the prince of this world? The prince of this world is none other. If you look on the can of a dill, they show a devil with a pitchfork on it. I forget what kind of little can it is, but most people, when they see it, that's what they think. They think that's the way it is. And you have to look at it, you have to see it, and you have to realize that God knows your every thought and form. But it says here, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, who is Jesus going to send back? I'm asking you an honest question. Who is Jesus sending back? Amen. The Comforter. We need to realize the Comforter is coming and talk here. And if you go on down here, talk about judgment. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, Jesus, talks to them, he is a real person. The Spirit of God is a real person. If you have not the Spirit of God and have not the Spirit of Jesus, the Bible makes in Romans very clear you're not part of His. Of truth is come, and He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but He will speak of who? Him shall speak. And He will show you things to come. I have had some time, what I want to call a vision or what, about something that would happen. And if you was shown to you either in a dream or an open vision, you would not be in the trouble that you normally are in today. Amen. So I have that night sitting on the back row of that church. I had a comforter. The Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost. He had come, and He's not an influence. He is definitely a minister of God because He is God, the Spirit. And now Jesus, where did He go? Where did He go? This book tells you where He went. He went back to heaven. Remember, He said, "You will see Me no more." He receded our office. He is sitting at the right hand of God. He is now functioning as a high priest for you. Jesus going to heaven. And you can know more about the Lord and Savior because of the Spirit of God that has been sent. Jesus has started to tell His disciples everything they need to know. And in chapter 14, it says, "If you love Me, keep My commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter." So, my friend, when you get saved, you need another comforter to come and live with inside of you. He will bring peace in your life. He will operate in your life. If you will worship the God of heaven, He also will open the windows of heaven and He will pour out a blessing that you cannot receive. Can you imagine that? A blessing. Now somebody said, "You can't really believe that." Why not? It's in the Word of God. Me and my wife and the two children wasn't living too good. I want to tell you, if you work on a ranch, you're not living too good. Amen. It's only about $1 an hour you got. I worked as a janitor before then until they sold the building and made more money than that. But when I met Jesus and started to take this book on my job, sat out there in the hours of the day praying, reading, praying, and thinking. I said, "Man, this is a great book. How come nobody ever told me about this book? How come nobody ever told me about the blessings of God for the children of God?" Come on. If you're a child of God, He wants to bless you. That's why He sent back the Holy Ghost. To teach you, to guide you, to open doors. And He started to operate, and He does open doors. But you do have a part. A lot of people today, they say, don't even give in church because they don't want to have a part. They don't want to be successful in God. You know, being successful is what it is, have the Holy Ghost. Amen. A Father. So He sent the Comforter to abide with you for an hour, for a year. My Bible said forever. Hello? My Bible said forever. You need to realize He does not live. He is there to convict you when you fall short. And I'm not talking about somebody say, well, you know, they it's a sin. Listen, if you can shack up, live with someone ill there, you're not a Christian. Like the sower that went out and somebody spread some seed. Now that night, I'm going to tell you, when God spread the seed, He is the sower. And it was spread. It wasn't spread up on hard, stony ground that when the sun came up and withered it and it died. It didn't go there. Or He didn't throw something or grow there here and the weeds and thistles grew up. That's the way that a lot of the people in the church, they're not saved. Because the Bible says when it fell on stony ground, what? The devil came, snatched the word out, and you went on your way. Things started to change. I said things started to change. And as they changed, I changed. Amen. I got a cheer. And I change. And as I change, my attitude changed. I realized that God wanted to bless me. But He couldn't bless me because you got to give God something to operate with. God's not going to go make counterfeit money to give to you, my friend. But if you're a Christian, God's going to, if you'll do these things that God says, you will have a life to live and prosper. But I tell you, it's still better than what we just don't realize the blessings of God. You need to realize the blessings of God. God wants to bless you. He's not a cursing God. He's a merciful, loving God. That's why Jesus said, "Don't be offended in me." I talk to people that claim to be saved, and I'm going to tell you, and I use that word, claim to be saved. I can't judge anybody. But I can be a fruit inspector, as the old-time preacher used to say. I can look at the way you're living. I can look at the kind of fruit you're doing. I like to eat almonds, don't you? Do you ever eat a wild almond? Bitter. That's what the devil gives you, bitter. You drink, you shoot drugs, and do everything else. And first thing you know, everybody I talk to, that they started out smoking marijuana in our state. Well, you can smoke marijuana. Because, you know, you got to understand, there are a bunch of sinners, too, in the state. And the devil wants everybody to sin and go to heaven. He don't want everybody to go to heaven. He doesn't really want everybody to prosper. Not in God. So I look at it and I would think, well, what am I going to do? Well, I'll tell you what. I'm like Joshua. For me and my house, we'll serve God. As for me and my house, we'll serve God. My friend, God wants to bless you. He did everything to bless you. He provided His Son. His Son died on a cross. Listen to me, my friend. He didn't die on the cross to buy you back from Satan. He died on the cross so He could pay the price that God had required for sin. Satan is judged. I said Satan is judged. He was a cruel taskmaster. All the years that I lived before Satan, I thought I was having a good time. Sin, ugly, serpent. It will take you to a lot. He'll deceive you. Whatever. But my friend, God sent the Spirit to help me. He sent the Spirit, if you're saved, to help you too. But what you need now, way you can get power, and it's a gift of God, and the baptism in the Holy Ghost. A lot of people don't like that. A lot of people don't like the word Holy Ghost. Man, but listen, when you say Holy Ghost, you're talking about a person, not something you can't feel, see. And Jesus never did say, when it comes. No, that He is a person. I pray that you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of talking in tongues. Every church that is born again, all the Christians in it, I said all the Christians should be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of talking in tongues. Everything goes quiet when you start talking about that. When I was a Baptist preacher, that's not for today. Well, they wouldn't know because they never had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So if you never receive it, you don't know. I preached for 8 years. But when it happened, I went back to the hierarchy and talked to him. And he said, well, you know, you need to have come and let us talk to you about your doctrine. I walked out. I have my doctrine here. And the book of doctrine is from the Son, the Father, and the Holy Ghost. He lived in my life. Let me ask you a question. Do you know for sure if you were to die right now? Do you know for sure? Would you go to heaven? Or would you go to hell? Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl will have to answer that question. You have not because you ask not. I looked at it and I accepted God's plan of salvation. There's nothing I did. I'm going to ask you, do you want this Jesus? You can have this Jesus. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I believe that. I talk to you about the words of God because Jesus spoke about the Word of God. So, of course, let us all bow our heads and go to the Lord's Prayer. Father,